Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You know, I know it's a long process, but it's not a long process for those folks out there. They're going to have to make budget cuts themselves right away. And so I can't believe there's nothing we can do. They're just finding out that they're getting a tax increase, and we're just telling them. Over the course of a couple of meetings.
So part three of our three-part series this morning on the Escambia County budget hearing that took place about 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago, something like that, I guess two now. Anyway, very interesting. Normally budget hearings are very boring. This was not boring because, you know, first of all, there was the whole conversation where Ashley Hoffberger, Commissioner of District 4, had brought up the prospect of, you know, all this outside agency funding, all these millions of dollars we give to charities and organizations and whatnot. The ones who do a service like Keep Pensacola Beautiful, let's make them a contract and, you know, maybe have procurement and let's kind of get rid of the rest as much as we possibly can because people are struggling. And I hear this from people all the time that they don't like it. Steve Stroberger says, I like to cut them by a quarter at least. Let's put the Escambia Children's Trust back on the ballot for next year. So everybody's very aware of the economic struggles that people are having. The tax bills keep going up because your property value keeps going up, which is an insane system, and they're looking to get some relief. And then on top of that, you've got ECUA raised rates. I think they can justify the rate raise, but it is still a rate raise. The board of the school board in Escambia County raised taxes by a half a mil. You know, whether they can justify it, I don't think they can justify it. I think that was a mistake. Hilton raised their property taxes by a mil because that was only half of the discount given them by the county that took away the MSTU. So you've got, you know, a lot of this stuff. And so the Escambia County Commission is having its final budget hearing, and they're trying to decide what to do. And right at the end, basically, Steve Stroberger says, we need to give them a rollback, which means a reduction in the millage. True rollback would be to put it at the rate where even with the property value increase, you'd still pay the same amount of property tax you paid last year. A non-rollback would mean keeping the same percentage or millage. A millage is a tenth of a percent. It's a very confusing system. It's designed, I think, designed to make you not understand how it works. But a mill is a tenth of a percent. So the point is on your property tax value, if you pay a mill, you pay $1 for every $1,000 of value. So a $400,000 home, you pay $400. 6 mils, you'd pay $2,400, right? That's how that works, okay? Anyway, Steve Stroberger says, let's roll back the rate. Let's charge them less than we can. Let's restrain ourselves a little bit. Mike Kohler, the chairman, District 2.
Getting rid of property taxes. If anyone in this room thinks you're getting rid of property tax, it's a transfer tax. And it'll hurt some of the poorest people worse. Sales taxes, people that have to pay more on their first home. All those things are going to hurt people more than what the people that are more predictable. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt.
All that's true. I think that's correct.
But the concern I have with the state legislature going into session in January, not knowing where we're going to land, for us to take a huge leap at this point would be all recommendations are no. I'm just telling you, all recommendations are no. Because we could be in a much worse situation come next March. And I think we really need to see what the state legislature is going to do. We could be in a really bad situation. And that's just my two cents.
And that's a fair point, too, is not knowing where the state's going to be. And he was making the argument that, look, we have a very decent rate. It's low compared to other counties. And if we're trying to even cut our rate, we're putting us in a really dangerous spot if the state gets rid of property taxes because we'll have taken in less revenue this year, and then they're going to cut property tax, and we're going to be scrambling to figure that out next year. So all of these things are a challenge. And, oh, by the way, if you're proposing any kind of a rollback or a reduction in revenue, what are you going to cut?
What would get cut if we took $26 million? Stefan, you got to lay it on the table. Is county employee raises?
It's going to be employee pay raises. It's going to be programs. It's going to be what don't you want to do anymore? What services do you not want to provide anymore?
I agree with Commissioner Berry on this. We should have this conversation in the workshop, not now, because this is a big ask. Huh? I mean, Commissioner Stroger, I totally understand what you're getting, and I know, but we have a little bit of time to see what the
I understand the fiscal reality, and Bubba Peters said that we're looking at maybe 0 to 2% next year. So a rollback is risky. It's risky, right? I understand that. But, man, it just sucks for some folks. It really just sucks. And we are giving ourselves a 3% raise.
Yeah. And so you're giving yourselves a raise, you're jacking up the fire service fee, and then you're not rolling back the actual property tax millage. And he's like, people are at their rope's end. They're frustrated. They're stressed. That's very, very difficult for them. By the way, the mention he had, Mike Kohler, about Stephen Barry was that Stephen Barry had been pushing back and saying, this is not something you bring up at the last minute in the second budget hearing. It takes several months, even 6 months, to plan budgets. You bring this up in May, March, April, June, you know, long time before now. This is the 12th hour, this or the 11th hour. This is not when you should be bringing this up. And Stroberger's like, you look, we got to do something, anything. This you can't tell me we can't find some way to cut. So you have Stroberger is on the do some kind of a rollback. Lumen May is very much playing both sides on this because he knows that the poor people in his district are going to be thrilled if he can cut taxes, and they're angry with him for the fire tax increase and the increase in property taxes if you don't do any kind of a rollback. And yet at the same time, you know, he holds the line on the budget. He's very much aligned with Stephen Barry historically. He can't figure out which way he's going to go on this. He wants to be on both sides, and when he talks, he wants to talk out of both sides. I mean, honestly, and I like Lumen, but he's definitely talking out of both sides of his mouth on this issue. Understandably, politically so. We'll come back to this in a second because it's about to pay off. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to report to you right now. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Expect about a 7 to 9 minute delay. And Avalon Boulevard southbound headed toward I-10. Expect about a 5 to 7 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So back to this conversation, and somebody texts in, what about FPL raising rates? Same, yeah. Like, it's bad across the board. Okay, so this is the one that you got to pay attention to. The questions that have been raised so far, can we roll back the millage rate? Is this the right time to do it? Ashley Hoffberger has already tried to do one thing to change the budget and basically got, I will say, bullied out of it, okay? And told this is not the right time. You got to do that earlier. You shouldn't do it now. And she's like, all right, fine. We'll talk about this later. No big deal. She's been lectured by Stephen Barry about how, you know, prior boards have done things and what's the appropriate way to do it. What's the appropriate timing? So there's already that kind of simmering semi-feud between the two of them over some of this stuff. And here I give you the following.
I have that damn MSBU is $101, and I've already told a few people I'll pay the damn thing for them. My wife's gonna kill me if I keep paying everybody's MSBUs. I can't do that.
Well, so how do we know that the 101 is the actual number that we need for the MSBU? Why can't the MSBU be $75? I mean,
no,
you're done.
It's done.
It's too late.
Bucks.
See, I mean, all you can do is make
that horse has left the barn. I mean,
I will say it's pointless to have a budget meeting if we can't change anything. That's just crap.
Exactly.
This is really a perfunctory. I mean, this is really a perfunctory meeting. I mean, the budget meetings were July.
When I brought up giving more money to a nonprofit in July, you told me to wait and have that conversation at the budget hearing. So that happened too. Was your recommendation a 2.5%?
Yes.
I would like to second that. And just because I own a company, and when we are losing revenue, we can find 2.5% somewhere.
So Stephen Barry, this is a perfunctory meeting. This is just a ministerial function. We're not supposed to do anything interesting here. And Ash is like, you know, I tried to do this then, and you told me to wait, and I'm trying to do it now. And the county minister and the county attorney said to do it now, and you're trying to pretend we can't do it now. When, sir? When? Wait until next year? Let the constituents just suck it up for, you know, a season. No big deal. So now she's on board with the tax rollback of some kind. Now they're going to spend a long time arguing about what's the amount and what's the rate. But here's a couple of the comments along the way. Steve Stroberger says,
I just don't want to rubber stamp this because that's what I felt like I was doing all along. It's just rubber stamping the budget without really much. And it's taken me this long to get my arms around it to kind of understand it. It's complicated. It's a complicated budget, and I know it's a lot of work, but I think it's worth it.
And so he's saying, look, let's do it. I mean, certainly we can find a little bit of money where we can cut our revenue from the citizens. Lumen May.
Agree with you. I mean, you know, listen, I didn't even bring the fire tax. I mean, you know, I'm supportive of our colleagues, so that was important to many of you that's on this board, because quite frankly, I probably would not have landed there. But cutting the millage rate, I agree with you. We need to give the taxpayers some type of relief. But the problem is we can direct and have it cut now, see what happens in the legislature in February and March to see exactly what the delegation says.
I'd rather lead on that, because those guys are – I don't know what kind of shenanigans.
You don't know what they're going to do.
And, again, Lumen's kind of being on both sides. He's like, I want to cut. I don't want to cut. I want to cut. I don't want to cut. And Steven's like, let's just lead. Let's just do it. We don't know what they're going to do. We can't trust them to do the right thing anyway. They look like they're hell-bent on screwing us out of our money. I mean, that's what all your local officials think is going to happen in the legislature this year. Mike Kohler, chairman.
So we're close to the sweet spot. We would be in the negative spot.
In terms of our tax rate compared to other counties, he thinks that where we're at is the right place. And he doesn't want to cut because it would put us in a challenge.
And that's what I was trying to share with what came out of the fact.
And I get that too, but that's also saying suck it up. That's what you're telling everybody else. Our millage rate is low. Suck it up.
I don't think that's good enough.
No, I know you're not saying that, but that's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. It's really low now, and I get it. But we're a poor county. We are a poor county.
What's interesting about that to me is the assumption had always been that Mike Kohler and Steve Stroberger would be very aligned. You now have a complete weirdness of alignment, because Lumen May is kind of halfway on the cut, halfway on the not cut. Stephen Barry's like, hell no, no cuts. Ashley Hoffberger, who was always considered to be the swing vote, is like in favor of a rollback of sorts. And Mike Kohler is kind of siding with Stephen Barry. It's a weird alignment on the board all of a sudden. Very unexpected. So how much money are we really talking about? Well, the difference between a mill of 6.615 and 6.600 is 1.5 hundredths of a mill, which is 1/1000. Like, it's a tiny amount of money we're talking about.
It's less than that. It's only about $500,000, isn't it?
But it's so correct. It's about $546,000.
If we went six flat, I mean six point six flat.
From 6.6165 to 6.6 is $546,000.
So one possibility is to cut back or roll back from 6.615 to 6.600. You could also, and Steven Stroberger is saying, well, let's push back. Let's go to 6.59. You know, like a tenth of a mil. Let's roll back just a little bit, even more than that. Or is that even 1/100 of a mil? 6.6. That's 1/100 of a mil he wants to roll. I mean, it's a tiny amount, and there's just no budge. No budge in here.
Because here's the reality of it. We can get beat up every week, but the school board has tremendously raised their millage rate, and ECUA continues to raise their rates. The utilities continue to raise their rates.
All of which is true. You know, and is there a similar amount of passion about that? I've tried to be consistent. The only one I haven't really pushed back on is ECUA, because I tend to think that they're probably right in their fee that they're charging. But okay, yeah, I mean, the school board, I've said many times, I thought it was wrong for them to raise the rates when they've lost customers. You know, that's not how a business works.
And I mean, the cost of doing business is just the cost of doing business. I mean, and so I'm certainly want to give relief, but I'm not going to tax somebody on a fire tax and then come back and say I'm going to reduce their millage rate. That just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
That's such a great observation, is we're feuding over the tiniest of millage rate reductions, and yet we're doubling the fire service fee. And this is why I mentioned before that if you remember, they're talking about a hundredth or not even like a 15,000, yeah, 1.5 thousandths. It's a crazy amount of tiny reduction in the millage rate. Meanwhile, the fire service fee is going up by about the same as 0.4 mils. It's not a millage. It's not assessed by your, it doesn't work that way. But if you have an ordinary home of about $300,000, you know, $125 is 0.4 mils. Like, that's what you're paying. So they're taking away $125 over here. And you know what they're dickering about right now? They're dickering around about whether to give you $3 or $4 a year off your property taxes on a regular home, which will amount in the end to $500,000 across the county. 120,000, 125,000 homes in the county into 500,000 is about $4. This whole discussion is about $4 per house. Which, even if they give it to you, do you notice? Do you notice 33 cents a month? But on their end, it's $500,000. And so they're really feuding over whether they can even accept that. And Stephen Barrett, to his credit, realizes he's losing this fight. And he comes up with a solution, which is, well, $500,000 can be handled just by not putting more into savings, not putting more into reserves. So that's what they wound up doing. They wound up reducing the mill from 6.615 to 6.600 at about $500,000 for the entire county budget of $800+ million. And so you as an ordinary homeowner are going to get about you're going to get $125 more on your fire service, but they rolled back the property taxes on the ad valorem by about $4. So I want to give credit to Steve Stroberger for fighting for your $4, as ridiculous as that is. And then all of this other nonsense about, well, we can't act now and we can't do it here and it's too late in the process and why don't you wait and all this. So I want to give them credit for something kind of a tax break, but it's not really in the net because your fire service fee went up by so much, which, again, I understand the argument there. The cost of fire service is expensive and it's not taking care of itself. I'm not even really upset about that particularly. I just think in the whole context of what you're paying, Lumen May got it right. How can we say we're cutting your taxes when we're actually increasing your taxes? And it's still going to increase because your property values are going to go up. So there you go. That's your three-part melodrama for today. John, any questions?
No.
It's craziness, right?
It is craziness, man.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29. Starting to see about a 7 to 9 minute delay. Highway 29 southbound as you approach 9 Mile Road, about a 8 minute delay. And Highway 90 southbound as you are heading into Pensacola, experiencing about a 7 to 9 minute delay in that area. No accidents to report to you. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Here's a question for Christians. What year was it that you were saved? I'm asking, when were you converted to Christ? And I'm not asking, when were you baptized or when did you receive the Lord's Supper? I'm not asking about religious works that you have done, but I'm asking you, when did you receive the work that Christ has done for you? When was it that you were convicted about your sin? When was it that you called on Christ to save you from the consequences of your sin? When did you seek God's forgiveness? For me, it was June of 1988. When was it for you? If you have never received Christ's forgiveness, the Bible says today is the day of salvation.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
What does New South Proud mean? It means you can save 35% on windows and doors. And not just any windows and doors. We're talking New South American-made windows and doors that offer premium protection from hurricanes, intruders, and noise. And they're guaranteed for life. Get 35% off American-made windows and doors until October 31st, 2025. Call 800-NEW-WINDOWS.
New South Proud!
Visit newsouthwindow.com/deal for details.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Severe from Vicks.
Sinex Severe nasal spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Severe instantly relieves nasal congestion and works 6 times faster than nasal decongestant tablets. The 12 hours of relief allow you to get back to the moments that matter without congestion.
Daddy, we need more balloons.
On it.
Try Sinex Severe from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app. Tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Did you say something about my mom?
Maybe I did, maybe I didn't.
Do you want to die, Napoleon?
Yeah, right. Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
/7:29 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Flights across the U.S. faced delays for several days this week as the FAA grappled with Staffing shortages, of course, caused by the government shutdown. Major airports across the country apparently had significant delays and disruptions with air traffic controllers apparently calling in sick, prompting the FAA to reduce flight operations. Now, in Pensacola, they said they haven't really had a lot of these issues yet.
You know, we have a great communications with the FAA, so if there's any operational issues, they're going to let us know. And we haven't heard anything, and that goes with our friends at TSA also.
And we talked with Matt Coughlin yesterday. The Air Traffic Controllers Association says that coordinated job actions could lead to severe consequences for their employees.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, coming up next, we're going to talk to the Pensacola Police Department. Had a couple of pretty high-profile incidents in the last week, and they're changing guns. We'll find out why they're making that decision. Coming up next on the Pensacola Morning News After Fox and your local news with David Wayne. Stick around.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm CJ Pop. The families waiting to be reunited with their loved ones held by Hamas. Ruby Hen's son, Itai, is the youngest U.S. citizen in captivity. He's a soldier who was guarding the border October 7, 2023.
The tank was hit, and the people that were inside the tank were taken, initially missing in action, and then to find us hostages. There was nothing physical evidence about my son and what happened to him.
He spoke to Fox and Friends. The next step for Israel.
The cabinet will likely sign off on the peace deal, and then will come a hard ceasefire. Along with that ceasefire, the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces, expected to pull back to one of two predetermined lines inside of Gaza.
That's Fox's Steve Harrigan in Tel Aviv. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3 right now, 72. We've got partly cloudy skies on this Thursday morning here in Pensacola. An investigation underway after a man was shot in the Montclair neighborhood. That happened on DeVille Way last night. Officials say a victim was found in a front yard with a gunshot wound to the chest. He was taken to an area hospital. Investigators say a gun and shell casings were also found in the area. Right now, there's no word on a suspect. Well, mark another one down for Pensacola's notorious graffiti bridge. A box truck got stuck under the trestle yesterday afternoon. Channel 3 had a photo of the box truck with a Haverty's Furniture logo wedged underneath the bridge. Of course, many trucks have been damaged at the graffiti bridge over the years. The city had reportedly been working on a warning device to deter trucks from attempting to drive underneath. That project is on a temporary hold as they wait for work on another nearby project to begin. Senator Don Gates says he wants to make changes to Florida's Medicaid system. There's tens of thousands of able-bodied Medicaid recipients, he says, that should be required to work.
There should be a distinction between people who can't get up off the couch, we ought to do a lot for them, and those who won't get up off the couch, and I think they should, and they ought to go to work.
Gates has filed proposals that would change who's eligible for Medicaid in Florida, and a proposal also that would require able-bodied recipients without small kids at home to work. Low-income clinics like Health and Hope in Pensacola say they're bracing for an influx of patients if this legislation were to pass. 41 other states have expanded Medicaid systems and included work requirements as well. But if this passes, Florida would be the first state to impose a work requirement without expanding their services. Santa Rosa County lawmakers discussing an environmental issue today. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this story. He says residents could be paying for additional sewer work.
Santa Rosa commissioners will hold a public hearing today on a proposed ordinance requiring residents to switch from septic to sewer when service becomes available. Well, now if passed, owners must connect within 365 days of notification. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Well, legislation requiring public elementary school students in Florida to learn cursive writing has been introduced for next year's legislative session. That proposal would mandate cursive instruction for students in grades 2 through 5 and also aims for them to demonstrate proficiency by the end of 5th grade, although a proposal would mandate similar bill received unanimous support in the House during the 2025 session. The Senate never took action on that. Critics have expressed concerns that the requirement could contribute to over-testing in schools. It is 7:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a quick update on our weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at a beautiful day today, a little on the warm side. Starting off with temperatures in the 70s as you head into your afternoon, high around 86 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66 degrees. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 80 degrees. Friday night, temperatures starting to fall, 62 degrees. Going into Saturday, beautiful sunny weather with a high near 82. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Partly cloudy and 72 right now, and 7:35. Let's get an update on our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. Let's see here. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Expect about a 10-minute delay in that area. Highway 29 southbound approaching 9 Mile Road. You're expecting about a 7 to 9-minute delay. And Highway 90 southbound heading into Pensacola, about a 10 to 12-minute delay in that area. Other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. 7:35, your next news at 8, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Novo Nordisk said it has agreed to buy Akero Therapeutics for up to $5.2 billion, giving the Danish drug maker access to the U.S.-based company's experimental liver disease drug. The maker of Wegovy is pressing ahead with a restructuring in a bid to revive sales growth and fend off intense competition from U.S. rival Eli Lilly. The IRS said that it is furloughing nearly half of its workforce due to the ongoing government shutdown. Officials said that while roughly 34,000 IRS workers are being furloughed, nearly 40,000 employees, representing roughly 53% of the workforce, will remain on the job. China has tightened export controls on rare earths and related technologies while barring its citizens from participating in unauthorized mining overseas. China Director of Eurasia Group Dan Wang said the latest move is a major upgrade for rare earth export control, expanding restrictions. Futures are slightly lower. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost one. That's Your Money Now.
One of the nation's largest employers of people with disabilities is based right here in Pensacola, Global Connections to Employment, or GCE. Now they're creating more local jobs for people with disabilities through the launch of GCE Designs. Hear the inspiring story on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9. Visit gcedesigns.org to learn more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Landrum Annual 5K Run Walk is Saturday morning, starting at the downtown Landrum offices. Everyone is encouraged to get out and get moving. Proceeds benefit Lakeview Center. The Taste of the Beach Food Festival is Saturday from 10 till 4. Come out for the flavors, the fun, and new features showcasing the best chefs and restaurants on the beach. Find out more at PensacolaBeachChamber.com. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
Love electronics? Join the award-winning team at ADX Communications, home of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN 1330, and Pensacola's Playlist. We're looking for an experienced electronics technician who can keep our stations running smooth, from the studio to the transmitter tower. Competitive pay, great benefits, and a fun, fast-paced team environment. Apply today at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX is an equal opportunity employer.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and got a chance today to talk to Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Joins us typically at this time on a Thursday. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So We got a couple of interesting things that have happened in the city. One is, didn't happen recently, but back in 2016, there was a murder of Millicent Ann Burnett McManus. It's kind of a cold case now and almost a decade old. But you guys have kind of reopened this case or are examining it again, because murders never stop being things that you guys care about.
Yeah, there's two parts to this. The first one, obviously, is the cold case of the murder of this young lady. And it's we've talked about it before on these cold cases. We will never, ever give them up. A lot of times if we run into a brick wall, we will take that case from one investigator and give it to another for a fresh set of eyes and perspective. But the other part of this is the fact that we now have a former state attorney, John Mulchan, on with us. He works for the Pensacola Police Department now, and his one of his jobs, he actually does two, but the main one is to investigate these cold cases. Hmm. So we're very, very fortunate to have John.
I feel quite ignorant. I didn't realize John had left the SAO's office and come to work for you guys full time.
Yeah, if you talk to him, he'll tell you that he got rid of all his suits and ties, and now he wears a PPD polo, and he's digging into these cold cases.
And if I know John, he's just happy to get more range time.
Yeah, and that's the other job that he has. He was out on the range with us while we were transitioning to new weapons. He's one of the range officers, and he's very, very proficient with a firearm.
Yeah, no, for sure. We're going to come back to that in just a second, but I want to get to the other things first. You also had a vehicular homicide, and you've made an arrest in that case. Where did this accident take place?
It was on 9th Avenue about Keating, and it occurred when a woman was, from what witnesses say, it was a road rage type situation. She was driving very aggressively. She attempted to pass a vehicle that was in the left lane going northbound, so she got into the passing lane, but there was a car sitting there trying to make a left turn, so she made another left, which put her in the oncoming lane, where she hit a vehicle head-on. One of the people in that vehicle did not make it, and the other two were very seriously hurt. And another part of this, she was charged with child endangerment because she had her 11-year-old in the front seat of the car when she drove in this manner.
Oh, my God. The aggressive, reckless, once you make one stupid decision, other stupid decisions cascade from it. But, yeah, that intersection, I know that, you know, right by the Walmart just to the north on 9th Avenue, right before you get to the overpass of I-10. Man, ugh. Okay, so you've made an arrest in that case. All right, very good. You also had a drug-related arrest, 38-year-old Anna Colley, a trafficking arrest. Is that right?
Yeah, this was this took months to look into. This trafficking was happening out of a home in the Inverness subdivision, and when officers served a search warrant there, there was an incredible amount of narcotics that were taken, different ones from just you name it. It was pretty much on the list. It's extensive.
I had, and, just because people may not have seen it, the numbers that I saw were 170 grams of fentanyl, 160 grams of methamphetamine. That's a lot of drugs.
Yeah, I'm glad you got that with you. I don't have that list with me. I appreciate the backup on that.
You bet.
It is an extensive list.
And so you guys made go ahead.
Yeah, we want people to know this type of thing can happen anywhere. And if you've got some suspicious activity going on at a neighbor's house that's just something seems off, please give us a call. And we can't just rush right over there and kick the door down and go get the drugs out of the house. That's not going to happen. But these type of investigations can take months. But sooner or later, like this case, sooner or later, hopefully we'll get in there and get that taken care of and get that element out of there, because nobody wants that sort of thing happening in their neighborhood.
The other thing, and we kind of hinted at it a moment ago, is that the Pensacola Police Department, after quite a long time using one platform, which was previously you guys were using the Glock 22, which is a 40 caliber. It's a slightly larger bullet for people who aren't all that gun proficient. It's just a little bit larger bullet, a little more stopping power historically is the argument for the 40 caliber. You're moving to a 9mm. But you're not going to the Glock 17, which has been kind of the long standard firearm that people use, you know, that even the Sheriff's Department, I think, uses. But you're going to the Glock 45, which is a slightly more of a hybrid, a little bit more modernized version of the Glock. People can get confused. It's not a 45 caliber. It's still a 9mm caliber, but it is called a Glock 45. Is that right?
Yes, the model. It's the model 45,
right,
which is a 9mm.
And the main impetus for that is what? Cost, accuracy, jamming, hand size, all of the above?
All the above. It's a little bit lighter. The ammunition is cheaper. And the technology, the red dot technology that we have on these weapons, and I can tell you that I was out at the range transitioning last weekend, and some folks that have problems firing their weapons, when they got used to this one, those problems went away. This weapon is very accurate. And I want to talk about the red dot for a moment. It's just it's not a laser sight. It's not a dot that you will see on a target. The officer will look through a viewfinder, for the lack of a better term, and see this red dot on the target, and then the round will go wherever that red dot is. They're zeroed into a specific range. So that technology is on these weapons.
Yeah, it's a very common misperception is people have the idea that the red dot sight is a laser sight because they've seen the Terminator and you pull the trigger halfway and it shows a laser pointed at somebody's chest or thousands of sniper movies or whatever. And it's not that. And the best way I've always found to kind of explain it to somebody is imagine that the top of your gun had a very, very small tube, like a toilet paper roll tube, but even smaller than that. And there at the very end of that tube is a light that comes back towards your eyes that only you can see. So you don't even see that light until you're relatively on target pointing the gun in the right place. But once you do, wherever that dot is where the bullet's going to go. And it's very easy as opposed to the standard old iron sights where you try and align the little pin with the U or the whatever your version on your car, on your gun is. But I have questions about this, so I want to come back to this in just a second. We're talking to Mike Wood. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 is our trouble spot for the moment, expecting about a 10 to 12 minute delay through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the PPD. Mike, now I'll tell you, as a gun owner and user myself, I don't like the red dot. My son loves his red dot sights. He loves them, and I know everybody. I'm the only one I know, but I'm just so familiar with the iron sights that retraining to the red dot when, you know, Drew Kilgan was taking me through that a long time ago on the range, I'm like, ah! It's just awkward. But you're saying that people who have had trouble with accuracy with their iron sights on the old Glock 22s, the 45s with the red dots are like, bing, 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 everything's working out better groupings. I mean, you're seeing results from people?
Yeah, not up right off the bat. Once that got used to it, and keep in mind, we were on the range for a day and a half. We were out there in daylight situations, and then we went back very early the next morning while it was dark, and we were getting used to that sight in the dark and as the sun was rising too. So we got to use it in all kinds of situations that we may use in real life. But once the thing about the red dot is, and versus the iron sights in darkness or low light situations, you have something to look at. You know when your weapon is trained very close, and not too high and not too low. If you can see that red dot, you're very close to that target just by doing that.
Okay, yeah, and I mean that makes sense because you're operating in a bunch of different lighting situations, so I can understand that as well. I more think that the 9mm conversion is the one that makes sense. I'm kind of surprised it's been this long because that's become like the industry standard. One other question, and I only ask this because I know the sheriff's department made the move where they went from Glock to the SIGs. They went to the SIG P320s, and I had a chance to use that at the range. And, you know, it's not the gun I would have picked, but having used it, I'm like, oh, man, I see the value of this gun. And it's modular, and it's adaptable to everybody's hand size and all this kind of stuff. Did the department consider going to the SIGs, or did you just not really and just stick with the Glock, model line?
I don't have any information on that. A lot of times with police departments, it's personal preference on the department.
Sure.
The Glocks that we had in the past worked very well for us. And, you know, as far as having jams and things like that, but they were getting old. Parts were getting old,
yeah.
And it was time. These weapons were between 20 and 25 years old, and that's old. So it was time to move on, and we've had very good luck in the past with the Glock.
And absolutely. I mean, you can't argue with the durability. I think SIG had a bad reputation originally. Deserved bad reputation, but they've gotten a lot better. Last question on this subject, only because somebody texted me the question. What are you guys doing with the old pistols? I guess if the officer wants to buy it, they can. But what about the people who don't want to buy them? Are you going to auction them, sell them, melt them? I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, they're going to go back to a dealer we'll take those and we will sell those back. But the officers also have the opportunity to buy that weapon back and keep it for personal use. And a lot of officers are doing that.
Okay, very good. I just know the first gun I ever bought was a Glock 17 during the ban era, and I got it because it was an officer's gun, and that's what allowed it to be a high capacity back when that was a thing. And I always forget about it, but then I remember, like, I'm carrying around a cop's gun, you know, once upon a time, a long time ago. So, you know, cop guns are good guns. All right, you always like to end with some kind of a cop myth or a did you know. Do we have one for this this week?
Yeah, and this is kind of on the subject matter of the weapons. This is an older but widely cited study in the International Journal of Police Science and Management. It indicated that approximately 90% of all police shootings happen in low light conditions, which is in the daytime or can happen in the daytime or night. But the incidents that took place during daylight hours were more likely to result in the individual being hit. So, in other words, it's kind of an obvious thing. We had more shootings in dark situations, but more accuracy in the daytime. So, hopefully, the technology that these new weapons have is going to help out, and no matter what. And I do want to say, while we went through this, training, we were our sights, those red dots, were taped up in case something ever happened to them, if they got dirty, muddy, or whatever. And we were also going back to the old school way of using that iron sight and other methods to make sure that we were as accurate as we could be.
Yeah, just in case training. But it makes sense. Like, if it's darkish, you can't really see the iron sights so well or what you're aiming at. That's a challenge. It's also a good reminder that, you know, and I know you guys do this, that you got to train in the circumstances you're going to encounter and when are most of the gunfights going to take place. And most cops never get in one, but, you know, if you got to be prepared for it. Train in the low light, you know, shoot in the dark, basically, because that's the situation you're probably going to find yourself in. That's a great training reminder as well. Mike Wood, I will ask this because I know somebody's, if somebody wanted to buy one of those guns for whatever reason, is there a way for them to do that? Or are you guys going to put out that information?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's a question that we would have to answer through our training division. But
okay.
Yeah, that's a question I don't know.
Okay. I know I'm getting texts about this exact thing, and I just want to head off the question before it gets asked. So very good.
I can follow up on that and get back with you. But,
okay.
But I don't want to guess.
Okay, sure. I always appreciate that. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time. I always appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
751 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home or moving or upgrading or downsizing, you know, because, you know, the kids have left and it's time for you to get a condo or move to the beach or move. Maybe you don't like the taxes in Escambia, you want to go to Santa Rosa or vice versa. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Everybody moves for all kinds of different reasons. Well, you want to get a good real estate agent. You want somebody who's going to help you walk through that process, get you all the way through to closing, because, you know, it's no good to get you 90% of the way through to closing. That's just a waste of everybody's time. Find you the best price, selling or buying or both. Help you understand what the marketplace is doing when it comes to, like, you know, replacing the air conditioner or replacing the water heater, for goodness sakes. I kid you not, that's a thing these days with insurance. Or the roof, you know, all of that stuff. What's the market doing at $600,000 in Gulf Breeze or $600,000 in Cantonment? Not the same. Same price range, totally different markets. And that's the point. You got to have somebody who does enough transactions so they know what's happening in all of these different places. That's Christine Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. 786-3996.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Beret. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Beret Jewelers.
Right now, somewhere close, your dream house is sitting there. Maybe it's got the perfect porch, a backyard made for barbecues, a kitchen built for big family meals, and it's just waiting for you to call it home. At Penair Credit Union, we make it easy to get there with great rates, flexible loans, and local lenders who know the market. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing, we're here to help. So what are you waiting for? Learn more at penair.org/homeloans. Equal housing lender.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Be the fool.
Sometimes they'll want to cut you down. Gotta scratch that itch, cause the time is now. They tell you that you gotta have a heart of steel. If you want to keep up, can you afford to feel? Run the system wrong, gotta tear it down. Let it fall to the sea, but like a rusty crown. To the stars, love the moonbeams glare. Shackles on your feet, gotta disappear. What if I tried to tell you to do it more?
Every once in a while, you just gotta get a little bit of that worked up female anger going. I love the noise sets, they're fun. 7:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. I was actually chatting briefly with Mike Wood offline about the whole, you know, hey, because I am sure, John, even you said it. Well, I want to buy one of these old Glock 22s. The old Glock 45s. No, for 22s. Yeah, 22s. I want to buy the 10 millimeter. And I bet other people would. I bet you, just even in the sound of my voice right now, there's enough people to buy all the weapons that they're selling, let alone other people who haven't even heard about this yet.
And that could raise money for a charity event.
Well, that's what I was thinking, is if they auctioned them, you know,
right?
There's a lot of people that would love to be able to say they carry a cop gun instead of, you know, carrying just a gun.
Or if you're a collector.
Right. Something unique, whatever, mm-hmm. You know. And so I think the PPD should consider, you know, selling them somehow or other at a premium, maybe generating some money for charity. Now, I know that legally they can't just sell it themselves. They got to go through a dealer. But hey, you know, whoever the dealer is, this should be a thing. Like, hey, buy a PPD gun. Now, there's also the flip side of the optics of this is, remember a couple of years back we did the gun acquisition, you know? I'm not sure that the police department wants to be perceived as being in the business of promoting gun purchasing. But then again, why not? You know, if we believe citizens should own firearms legally, hey, if you can make extra money for a cause by auctioning off kind of a collector specialty noteworthy item like that, do it. Because people will pay they're going to be beat up. Like, a cop gun's going to be beat up, okay? But, you know, if you can get a beat up old Glock 22 for, I don't know, $250,
but it was a service
that's
weapon.
Super cheap.
Yeah.
But you'd be willing to pay almost $400, $500, almost new price to get it. I'm sure other people would, too. Anyway, interesting idea. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
One accident on the books right now at Brent Lane and North Davis Highway. Seeing the big board light up with that one. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Seeing our typical delays again. And Highway 90 southbound heading into Pensacola. You're going to see about a 7 to 9 minute delay. And also 9 mile westbound after you leave that heading toward Highway 29, expect about a 10 to 15 minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, here's a tidy solution from a texter at 437-1620. Put the money back into gun safety programs for kids.
Why not?
Or adults, yeah. I mean, makes sense. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, gentlemen, Dolly Parton is reassuring fans about her health after her sister's comments earlier this week caused some concern. In an Instagram video, Parton said that she is not seriously ill and said she's still focusing on her work despite recently postponing her Las Vegas residency.
Good.
She expressed gratitude for the prayers and support. A former Uber driver has been arrested in connection with the Palisades fire, one of the most devastating wildfires in Los Angeles that claimed about a dozen lives. Jonathan Rindernecht, prosecutors say, set that fire, which was a continuation of another fire he'd previously started. He was taken into custody and faces charges of destruction of property. And a woman in her 60s died this week after having a medical episode while on the Haunted Mansion ride at Disneyland. According to officials there, emergency responders arrived shortly after receiving reports of an unresponsive individual. CPR efforts by Disneyland security were unsuccessful.
They warn you in that ride a lot ahead of time.
Right.
Like, don't ride it if kind of
if,
things.
Right. If you have pre-existing health conditions.
Man, those sliding pictures, you know, and the ghost in your car and You know, it can have an effect for sure. Was that it, sir? Was that your last one?
That's all I got for right now.
Outstanding. Thanks so much for the update. 7:58, News Radio 92.3. Oh, I don't know that I'm going to get to this today. Did you see that Long John Silver's is joining the rebranding craze? Now, I don't think we don't even have a Long John Silver's here.
No, we don't.
I actually love Long John Silver's. They're I grew up on Long John Silver's. Going to All You Can Eat Clams on a Tuesday night. And the rebrand is that they are replacing the fish logo on their signs and their on their restaurants with a chicken. I swear.
What?
Long John Silver's, noted chicken farmer, is...
That makes no sense.
Well, they say that people are aware of their fish planks, but they're not aware of their chicken planks.
But you go there for the fish.
Yeah, you do. But the chicken is really good.
It is.
I mean, both are... It's the breading.
So put them both on there.
So, the only most important thing to remember about Long John Silver's is you can get chicken or you can get fish, but you always want to make sure to ask for extra crumbs.